If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the content? I don't know if I could do that, and I would say to myself, man, this Svenpai guy is making good content. I love this. I can't take any more free writing. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I'm Svenpai's top guy. What am I going to do? Seven Sun chose me to get a subscription. Whoa, Sven needs me? Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to bat for you, Sven. I'm going to therightstuff.biz/paywall, Sven.
This is tedious on therightstuff.biz.
All right, it's take two, and I just realized I have the wrong coffee mug, but Rich Evans and I welcome you to the jihad, and I missed the drop.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
The Jewish apocalypse.
It is episode 1100, take two.
Israel was a mistake.
Wait, it was a mistake.
Operation Clone Hitler.
Yeah. I have them somewhere.
Yeah, well, we can talk.
So,
you know,
it's like basically,
we'll get that up eventually.
I don't remember what made everyone feel bad.
Like, oh, well, sorry, because I'm feeling good. We're all feeling good. Everyone's feeling good.
Israel was a mistake.
Except for Israelis.
That mistake is being corrected.
Jews and Israelis not feeling so good.
Yeah.
But I am of the opinion that all of them, every single one.
Down to the last one.
Should feel really bad.
Should feel
terrible.
They should feel
in complete and total ways.
Yes. They should all feel very bad. They should all be in a very bad mood.
Grumpy.
Grumpy, yes. So we're going full grumpist here.
Full
grumpist. We want all of them to be...
I'm going to the bathroom.
Grumpy.
Every Jew in the bathroom.
Every Jew should be really feeling grumpy. And they should actually be like the Pittsburgh Steelers guy.
Well,
yeah, that guy. I always
say
Pittsburgh Pirates guy, and you always correct me. But no, it's Pittsburgh Steelers guy.
I'm going to kill myself!
So we're down here. We're down here in the tunnel. The non-flooded tunnel, by the way.
We're in the Hamas tunnel.
Yes, it's not flooded, and it's not caved in head. We're just caved in.
Okay.
So,
Tel Aviv.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of things have happened, although not as much has happened as a lot of people were thinking. And I would like to vindicate myself.
Oh.
Because I've been saying all along that, one, the Israeli army is not as good as you think they are. And two, this ground operation thing actually isn't set in stone. And right now there's a massive effort to pull them back from it because it is a really dumb move. And I'm actually worried because everyone's telling me, Mike, you're wrong. You're definitely going in. They're definitely going in. That was my opinion like 4 or 5 days ago. Now, after seeing them like drag their heels and waffle about it, although logical events might force them to do it anyway. But my opinion is that when they said yesterday or overnight, Saturday to Sunday, that they were going to be delaying it for a few days, they did say this. It was in the New York Times.
Yeah,
I don't think it's an accident that that came after the article that came out in Axios Saturday night where the Iranians said, if Israel invades Hamas, we're not going to have any choice but to get involved.
They also...
So I think that gave them serious pause.
They spun up this narrative about, like, it's raining. Like, it's flooding. And if you remember, it's like,
the IDF diapers are flooding.
Yes, the diapers. But it made me think of that infamous stream of ours with Bronx Blogger, in which we explained to him how the country he comes from just falls apart under a little rain. We're talking about Puerto Rico.
Now we've got
Israel also.
Yeah.
Apparently you can't do your ground invasion because it's drizzling over there.
Yeah. Now, here's my problem with that.
I think the other thing that's kind of happened over the weekend is the public relations campaign has gone very, very poorly. We got that public sympathy during the initial attack by Hamas, and they fucking burned that.
They blew
overnight.
It up with a giant
bomb. I bless
bomb.
The rains.
Well, they blew it up with like 1,000 bombs a day. They just blew that up.
I bless the rains down and God.
So I was hearing.
Actually, don't bless
like,
them. I would rather like.
Yeah. I was hearing that the
I
Jews.
I
want
to see jihad rain down on the Gaza Strip.
Jews were.
From Gaza, too. You know what I mean? Sorry.
The Jews are dropping about 1,000 bombs on Gaza a day. This is like, and just to give you, and people were actually comparing this munition expenditure rate to like Russia, Russian fire on the front line with Ukraine, which is 1,000 kilometers long, so like 700 or so miles long. And it's like more than that. So in an area that is like, you know, 25 miles long, but they're really only concentrating on the northern part, which is Gaza City, they are dropping more bombs and at a higher and faster rate than the Russians. And apparently the tonnage of munitions they have dropped is like half of the fucking nuke that hit Hiroshima at this point.
Yeah, it's like thousands and thousands.
It's
thousands
fucking
pounds.
Ridiculous. Like they are
tons,
basically.
Tons.
And so, you know, and nobody can really. The thing is, I was always saying, because we, you know, there are people that have been going out there and saying things, this and that. And I always try to give people some tips on how to argue or how to talk to people. And I'm like, you know, so I saw this thing. So Ron DeSantis was intercepted by some guy at a gas station.
I saw this.
And the guy was saying, like, you know, he's taking the Palestine side. Bombs. And Ron DeSantis, I don't even remember the total parameters of the conversation, but Ron 4, DeSantis.
4,000 tons of bombs on Gaza in the past 6 days.
Right. So
holy
Ron DeSantis
shit.
Comes back at this guy. And then the guy starts talking about trying to give a history lesson about going back to 1948 with Palestine. And I was like, that's the wrong move. I was like, look, if you want to talk about going back to 1948 with Palestine, you need to do like an in-depth, like hours-long podcast or documentary movie or something like that explaining the conflict. It's complicated. It's a lot of history. A lot goes into it. You can't, in that moment when you're trying to make Ron DeSantis look like an idiot, you can't be like, let's go back to 1948. So what you have to say is, Ron DeSantis, do you support completely blockading a civilian population, then bombing them, and telling them to run, and then bombing them when they run, and then cutting, and then saying like, "Oh, you're supposed to run here. Oh, yeah, you can't run there," and like fucking around like that because they've been doing that. They've been like, "Oh, the border's open. No, it's closed. Open, closed. Go south. Oh, here we bombed you going south. No, don't go that way. Go this way." And then just they don't know, the people in Gaza don't know what the fuck to do. And so all these are war crimes. All this is against international law. All of it's fucking evil. And the problem is that, you know, if you want Ron DeSantis to eat that, you have to make him publicly say that basically I support breaking like all international law, and no one's really doing that. And
this was in New Hampshire.
He still looks like a fucking homo here. I mean, it makes me cringe to even watch it. But like,
well, Ron, what do you think about the annihilation and the decapitation of all the Palestinians in Gaza right now? They basically bulldozed the whole. I worked in the Gaza Strip. Worked in Palestinian refugee camps,
but they are not decapitating babies' heads. They are
neither are the Gaza.
No one,
not
no one else is
doing that.
They're blowing up entire residential.
Oh, he just said they're not intentionally doing that. I mean, it would be okay if it was by accident. If the Israelis,
what a depraved thing to say.
Ron DeSantis supports the accidental beheading of babies. Yeah, it's not the intentional beheading of babies.
This guy doesn't do like he doesn't. But the problem is, I feel like he loses the plot when he starts. But anyway, let's keep going.
So let's say you kill a bunch of people and a bunch of them become
decapitated. He's
actually
doing pretty good.
He didn't do it on purpose.
Well,
say it for the sake of
you
argument.
Know, decapitation's bad. Blowing their heads off with a bomb, that's fine.
Well, let me just so you understand, 700 children have been killed in Gaza. They weren't decapitated. They weren't.
Were they brisketed?
They probably were burned alive, a lot of them. And so here's the problem. And many of their body parts probably flew off and were destroyed. And so the problem is, this is what the kikes do. First of all, the story about decapitated babies, nobody will stand by it anymore. It's been thoroughly debunked. It's an embarrassment now. But a lot of people spent days arguing about that. I'm one of them. And it's important to debunk these Jewish lies. But at some point, like that, while that was going on, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of babies were being blown the fuck up by like bunker buster bombs. So
there's a lot of grumpism going on in this clip.
So,
a lot of grumpism.
Yeah. So the thing is that this is what the Jews do. They're like 40 decapitated babies found, and it's like a scary, weird, spooky, depraved body horror thing. And everyone gets interested in it because that's just human nature. Like, you're interested in spooky, weird stuff. But the way Israel is killing babies is like mundane, for lack of a better term.
They just dropped 4,000
bombs
on babies.
Dropping bombs and just blowing them up. They're just being killed by explosions and flying rubble.
Didn't they?
Like, that's not spooky. That's not weird.
Didn't they airstrike a fucking like refugee caravan somewhere?
Yeah, and they blamed Hamas for that.
Oh, that's.
But Hamas doesn't have airplanes, so what are you talking about?
That's a very convenient. We didn't do that. They did. It's like, well, okay.
No, dude, they had people on back of a flatbed truck heading south out of Gaza City, and they fucking blew it up.
Oh, were they using them as human shields again?
Yeah, no, it's all nonsense. I mean,
I want to hear this, though. This is pretty good.
This guy's. I fucking hate this guy so much.
I watched up to Al Jazeera's, and they're not covering that.
Well, I would be very careful with Al Jazeera. I mean, that's funded by a lot of these Middle East governments.
Yeah,
I'd be very careful with Al Jazeera.
Should be careful with CNN and Fox News.
Yeah, I'm careful with all of
them. Yeah, I just trust the Telegraph. I get all my information from the Telegraph.
But you can own him with information in the New York Times.
Yeah, right.
So families carrying their babies in, totally dead. Israel has been killing Palestinians.
You think he's just like standing here listening to this, be like, I'm never going to be president.
He's never going to be president. I would also hit him with that. You're not going to be president. You should just go home.
I'm not even going to get the fucking, why am I in New Hampshire right now? It's fucking cold. I could be down in Florida.
The problem,
I moved to Florida for a reason, same reason everybody else does, to not pay income taxes and for it to not snow. And I'm in the middle of October. I'm sitting here in New Hampshire listening to some yokel shame me about the things I'm wrong about. I can't show my way out of this.
I think Ron DeSantis is dumb enough to not know that he's wrong. I've got all this Jewish
donor money, and I just can't get it through this guy's thick skull, and he's not going to vote for me.
Oh, well, that's what the guy ends with.
Yeah. It's like he's never going to. Give you a break.
No, none of those people are going to vote for him. All those people are just going to vote for Donald Trump.
He's in this awful. Look at his picture, but he's in an awful like New England pizza shop. Just kill me. You know,
just grump him.
If you're in New England, you can't.
He looks kind of grumpy.
Unless you're in Frank Pepe's, you can't get pizza out there. You get a fucking.
Oh, Ron DeSantis.
You get like
also
a big frozen disc of dough that's like 2 inches thick, and it's got like cheddar and fucking mozzarella mix on it. It's Greek pizza. It's
cheddar
fucking
is like not really.
There's
that
one
great
thing the Greeks can't pizza. Do. The Greeks can do a lot of things. They can't do pizza. And for whatever reason, New England decided, you know what? That's the pizza we're going to make. Fuck New York. We're going to make Greek style pizza.
Well, I'll just say this. You know, Ron DeSantis looks pretty grumpy here.
Yeah.
And I also would like Ron DeSantis to feel very grumpy.
Very grumpy.
I want him to be grumpy.
Hold on, I missed it. Okay.
But the whole time Gaza has existed, and they've been contained.
Hamas, Israel put in a warning, we're going to go in this area, civilians leave. Hamas tells them not to leave.
Bullshit.
Well, what if, like, don't bomb them then? What if they don't leave, like...
Well, the problem is
the total
well, here's what the guy
I'm abdicating my responsibility to like bombing people. Like, well, we told you to leave.
What the guy's going to say next is true, but again, it's sort of like this. He's going down way too much in the weeds. So
Hamas wants them to be human shields. That's their tactic, technique, and procedure.
It's weird. See, this is the thing. Like the human shields things. Like that's just their people. Like they're human shields because you keep shooting at them. Like, stop shooting at them.
No, it's just
like
an
you
excuse.
Have blockaded these people into this small like strip of land. You don't let them leave.
That's just an excuse.
That's different. That they're not human shields. They're hostages. These people are fucking hostages, and you're trying like these kikes the people that he's enabling accuse it like they're like you're trying to say that Hamas is holding these people hostage. Like no, Israel is holding these people hostage. It's an occupation. Fuck you. You like human shields. Where are these people supposed to go? They're supposed to go to the other part of Hamas or the other part of Gaza. Fuck off. Stop bombing.
There was an article going around over the weekend where they were talking about this Hamas commander and how he was born in a refugee camp. And it was the easiest own I've ever had. I was just like, okay, well, that's why you don't create refugee camps and crowd people into them. Because if you do, you end up with this. So don't do that.
Yeah.
How many other armed forces give warnings to get out before they go? I think Israel's probably the only one in the world that does that.
I warned you before I did an ethnic cleansing.
No, that actually makes it kind of like worse because
it's
worse.
Like we have all these fish in this barrel, and we warn them before we start shooting into the barrel.
The thing is, it's like
get on the left side of the barrel.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like it's actually like Israel just bombs civilian areas more than other armies, and they have to do these fake warnings to give themselves. Like how many other armies just like indiscriminately bomb a whole city? I mean, literally, there is no military objective to what they did in Gaza. None. Zero.
It's just
the only military win.
It's genocide.
It's just to satisfy kike bloodlust. Yep. The only military win for Israel would come if they went in and actually what they're talking about doing, which will fail for them if they do it, which is why I'm worried that they're going to. I'm actually concerned that like cooler yarmulkes will prevail here and like they will not go into Gaza because I want to see the state of Israel destroyed.
Yeah.
And as a result, I'm worried that they understand that the Gaza operation will actually create way more problems for them than it will solve. And so I'm worried they'll back out of it. I'm actually concerned about that.
I can't sit here and say that I hope Israel goes into Gaza and then kills a bunch of women and children. I don't know. I can't necessarily sit here and say that.
I don't hope for that. Look,
they will butcher civilians. They will.
Well, yes, obviously
they're currently doing
that
from the air.
The problem
with no
is,
risk.
Alex,
if they do it on the ground, then they'll be a meat grinder.
Yeah, the problem is though, that like at least that's a fight. Like right now they are doing it from the air, and additionally, they have been doing it all along. And ultimately, that's frankly for the Palestinians to decide. Like, they have they understood that in undertaking these actions against Israel was going to result in their death, but not undertaking them will result in a slow death. And this is kind of like, some of the stuff I wanted to talk about in terms of how this could even happen. We can finish
Like, frankly, one of the biggest moral issues here is international community. Like, fucking stop letting Israel do this.
Well, it's
be
America.
An adult.
It's
stop
just America.
Israel.
The reason that people are there's a, actually, that's another thing. There's a big, there is a, you don't hear about it in America. There is a big diplomatic coalition being corralled together.
Yep.
Frankly, by Russia is leading it, and Iran is part of it, and a, like a number of other countries in there. They have sort of a...
If you're hearing this, then you're only getting half the show. Did you know that therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded? Thanks to this censorship machine, this project can only be sustained by listeners like you, by supporters like you. So why don't you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall and show the powers that be that they can't silence the most silenced.
Carrot and stick. I could explain all this. They're doing sort of like there's a threat of the war from the Iranians, and then there's Russians are coming in with here's a peace plan, and the United States, the nuclear armed United States, the attack dog for Israel is what scares people off from wanting this confrontation. But I think some of these countries and people are concluding that. We can't, you know, these people are rabid. They're very heavily armed and they're genocidal. Like, the confrontation just has to be had and what come what may, because otherwise we can't live under this. Essentially, Israel is like, and Ben Shapiro said it himself, that Israel is holding the entire planet hostage at this point because they will nuke if they feel their state is threatened. They will
nuke.
Which
is wild.
So, like, the whole fucking... All the population of Earth is being held hostage by this tiny little fucking state, this tiny little group of, like, basically genocidal maniacs that live in this country.
Maybe in an alternate version of the Terminator series, Skynet comes into full consciousness and then it nukes Israel immediately.
It stops Israel, yeah. That's what it's called.
It is the source of all the conflict.
Right.
Oh, there you lost the plot.
I didn't hear what he said.
He said he doesn't condone what Hamas did.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a
Hamas.
Yeah.
Well, Israel is doing the exact same thing with Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a radical right-wing crazy person.
See, this is where he's starting
and
to lose it. This is where he's starting to lose it.
Families that are dead and they have nowhere to go because they can't leave the Gaza because no one's opening their borders.
Well, that's the thing. You bring up a good point, though. You bring up a really good point. Why aren't these Arab countries willing to absorb some of the Palestinian Arabs? They will not do it.
Why can't Israel just do ethnic cleansing in peace?
I've got another Ron DeSantis clip queued up here where he talks about the refugee situation that I think is highly relevant.
Yeah. So, and this is where the guy starts talking about like 1948 and stuff. See, what I would have done to DeSantis, rather than getting into an argument where you make lots of points, hang him on one point. They cut off food and water and fuel, and they blockaded it, and they're bombing them.
Or say what I said.
All of these are war crimes. Do you support war crimes, Ron? Objectively, these are war crimes. Do you just hang him on it? Make him and don't let the point go. Keep asking the same question until he answers it. He'll fucking run away. He will run out of that diner if or whatever, that pizza place, rather than – because right now he likes the argument that is going in different meandering ways because he's got a number of different – talking points given to him by his Jew handlers on all of these things. And once you start saying, let's go back to 1948, it's like, no, you can't give everyone a history lesson in this format. Hang him on the fact that they are starving and you know, deliberately dehydrating civilians and children and just murdering them. Like, hang him on that. Make him defend it. Make him defend it. And just keep on one point. And just, don't deviate. Anyway,
will not do it. Saudi will not do it. None of them will do it.
Oh, he's talking about like why won't anyone take refugees? Like I don't think they're allowed to.
No, he is saying why can't Israel just do their ethnic cleansing in peace?
Why aren't these Arab countries willing to absorb some of the Palestinian Arabs. They will not do it.
Why aren't these Arab countries willing to facilitate this ethnic cleansing of
right.
the area?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck
right.
you.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
Fuck
That's
you.
Fucking bullshit.
Let's do it with Somalians in like Minnesota.
Yeah. Why
first.
Aren't you Wrong. Willing? Why aren't you willing?
Why don't we do that?
To deport? Well, the problem is, right? If you brought that up with him, he would say, "I support that, and I want to do that when I'm president."
He wants
which is
to.
A lie,
he wants to deport blacks to Israel or to Africa.
I want to deport blacks to Israel.
Okay. That's the Sambo option as yeah. opposed to the Sambo.
There you go. Well, that's what Jews are doing to the us. Sambo Jews option. Are doing the Sambo option to us. Yep. I mean, that's their, yep. you know. Yep. But anyway, I mean, I don't really want to focus as much on how long is this clip because Ron DeSantis.
That's basically it.
No, I'm like, saying Alex.
This is
the,
no, this
one.
Is pretty short. Okay. Oh, this yeah. is pretty short, but it's so retarded. We finally figured out a way
okay,
to argue against immigration.
All right, it's 35 seconds. Let me turn up this pop-up to volume.
Oh, we got to address this issue here, but yeah.
We cannot accept people from Gaza into this country as refugees.
It's like literally the only country on... Well,
that's like the only refugees he won't accept.
Well, also, he's also telling you, like, we'll take
that,
them all.
Ron? Why can't we accept them?
I am not going to do that. If you look at how they behave, not all of them are Hamas... But they are all anti-Semitic. None of them believe in Israel's right to exist. None of the Arab states are willing to take, you know, any of them. The Arab states should be taking them if you have refugees.
Wait
you don't
a second.
Fly people
Why?
And imp-
Wait,
that's not how that works.
You don't fly people to port them in the United States of America.
What? Port them Since- into the United States of America. So we're going to be very strong on that.
I mean, unless you're from, like, Venezuela or someplace.
Now, here's the funny thing.
Did you first hear that? All, you don't fly people into the United States as I mean, immigrants.
But first of all, Ron, if the Kikes want to dump the Gazans on
like
America,
they will, yeah.
they'll do it. Like if they go, if because I guarantee you, one of the things that was happening, and the Egyptian government just wouldn't do it, is they were saying Egyptian government let like literally evacuate them to the territory of Egypt. And I guarantee you that one of the bargaining chips that they were using was like, we'll give you, the United States is saying this, we'll give you a lot of money, and they won't have to stay there permanently. Once we get them there, we'll move them to places all over the world. We'll get them, you won't have to deal with 2 million new Palestinians that are angry and hate Israel and are going to be militant in your country and form like terrorist cells and attack Israel from your territory. That's what they're worried about, right? And that among other things. And they're also supporters. They would be supporters of the government that they overthrew in Egypt, because Egypt had a Muslim Brotherhood government that was overthrown by the current military dictator al-Sisi, and the Palestinians from Gaza would absolutely be supporters of like that previous regime. But
stop the press.
Okay, this fucking guy, yeah.
Pete Davidson, did a cold open for Saturday Night Live.
It's looking rough.
This dude is just like
I
the most disgusting
I don't
piece
know.
Of
this
shit
is,
on
all
earth.
This stuff makes me cringe so hard. It makes me so grumpy.
This week, we saw the horrible images and stories from Israel and Gaza. And I know what you're thinking. Who better to comment on it than Pete Davidson? Well, in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, like really famous, lovable Jew.
Yeah,
right?
No, actually, you should shut up.
I'm a good.
No, for America, he's perfect. Like TV morons. Me like funny Jew man with ugly, like, black eyes and.
Didn't he have? I thought he was gonna die, like for some reason.
In a lot of
no, he keeps like.
Did he have some
I
disease?
He was no, he
die.
Keeps.
I thought
keeps,
this guy was gonna die.
Surprisingly, he hasn't caught a disease. What he keeps doing is he keeps fucking like famous hip hop broads of some repute and
ways.
So, well, he should be getting. He should. I mean,
yeah, he's always like drilling oil.
Yeah,
I am a good person to talk about it because when I was 7 years old, my dad was killed in a terrorist attack.
Yay!
So,
sorry.
I know something about
Seven
what that's
years
like.
Too late.
What was the terror attack? Was he doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing, and somebody stopped him?
He's probably killed by. Aaron
I would love. I want to know what that is now. I want to know what that is now. Because like, Garrett, like was he like firing on? Was he firing on civilians from his IDF?
I actually
like,
don't even
service?
Care.
I would just no. I would. I
it
guarantee
was a
you,
New York firefighter who died in the World Trade Center.
Okay. Oh, so Jews killed him. Okay.
Wasn't Pete Davidson a Jew? Or is he only half Jew? I can't imagine a Jew would be a firefighter.
He must be half Jewish. His dad was a firefighter.
Yeah. I saw so many terrible pictures this week of children suffering, Israeli children,
no, you didn't see
Palestinian
that,
children.
Didn't
Hold
see
on,
that.
I had no, that wrong. Saw- I don't want Borzoi in the comments yelling at me. Davidson's father is predominantly of Jewish ancestry.
Okay, so
but he is
a firefighter.
I think that's how you say it in New York City. It's not a firefighter; it's a firefighter.
Hold on a second, though.
Lots of firefighters and police officers. Firefighters.
Yeah, he's firefighters.
They rushed into that building, Jewish burning. Building Jewish.
Hold on. Let me say this.
I'm on it today, folks.
Kikes have
episode 1100.
You know how they've got their own cops.
Yeah.
I'll bet you they got their own fire services, and they're probably in the Jewish neighborhoods, and maybe they were actually called to the World Trade Center when, like, every single firefighting unit was called to the World Trade Center. Anyway.
This guy, he was a New York City firefighter.
Yeah. Oh, just a straight-up NYPD firefighter?
He was just a straight-up NYPD, whatever the
what neighborhood
nomenclature is.
Does it give you what area? What precinct?
Okay, fine. So Pete Davidson has, like...
But his mother appears to be the one that's actually a goy.
Wow. Okay. Wow, that's kind of
it's an easy mistake to make because you hear a firefighter, you're like, there's no Jew would be a firefighter.
He's like a totally
wrong. They would
wrong.
Be a firefighter in a Jewish neighborhood, though. So you got to remember, even if it's FDNY,
he's the wrong kind of Michelin, though. Still, none of this works now. All this is shattered about Pete Davidson.
Yeah, he's the reverse. He's a reverse kind
of
Michelin.
He's the kind of Jew that Jews don't like.
Well, yes, generally speaking.
Like your dad is Jewish, like, ugh, look at this.
Generally speaking, the mom not being Jewish, it leads to two things. One, there are some hardcore Jews that don't consider that person Jewish, and they tend to be actually more even-handed and reasonable. For example, Lindemann, the guy that wrote Esau's Tears and other books, he also wrote The Jew Accused, where he basically concedes that Leo Frank was probably guilty. That guy is another one whose father is a Jew, but his mother is a goy. And Borzoi has a whole theory on that, how those type of Mischlings are.
Are you ready for me to say something that's going to make everybody mad?
Yes.
Okay.
Pete Davidson is a Christopher Columbus-style Jew. Right now to the inflammatory genetic disease, Crohn's disease.
You're in so much trouble now.
I know.
How could you? The jury's out on him being a conversal.
Here's what I'm going to predict. We don't know about Christopher
Columbus. It's a hefty accusation that people level with too much ease. They shouldn't.
Well, hold on. Let me say this though.
I'm just trying to connect Pete Davidson and everybody's brains to Christopher Columbus.
Oh,
that's
man.
All I'm trying to do.
That's brutal.
Because now that I've done that, you'll never be able to unthink it.
And frankly. I'm also not that interested in this because he's going to do like, this is my, he's going to do like, let's pray. Let's like not have, like, let's try and not hurt people. Like everyone's suffering. Like this is bad.
Question about this monologue is this any less funny than Saturday Night Live normally is?
If anything, this might be slightly funnier.
This might be more humorous than what they would normally do on a regular. Okay.
Well, I mean, he just about got a chuckle out of me when he said that, you know, who better to talk about this than Pete Davidson?
That was actually the funniest joke probably in Saturday Night Live since like 1993.
Yeah, and it still really wasn't good.
Since like Schwing, Monkeys Might Fly Out of My Butt, like Wayne's World style jokes.
Yeah, that stuff was very funny. Yeah. Or like Phil Hartman doing like Colin Blow, right?
Do you remember
that shit was funny as fuck.
Like the top five best misunderstood rock lyrics that Wayne's World did? And the number one was "Excuse me while I kiss this guy."
Yeah, I used to think that was
the funniest fucking thing
I ever saw in my life. It said that.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah, I am not joking. When I was a kid, I thought that's what the lyric was. That's what it sounded like.
To hear grown-ups say that on TV, it's like, wow. I feel validated. I feel seen and heard. Anyway.
And it took me back to a really horrible, horrible place. And,
Israel?
No one in this world deserves to suffer.
Was it Israel? Was that Israel?
Yeah. And now I'm thinking of Saturday Night Live. So apparently this weekend, the Israeli IDF will be delaying their ground invasion again due to a swarm of locusts, they say.
Yeah.
It's frogs. It's every week. Does it have a different biblical
different plague that's stopping them.
Different like God is angry like thing.
Yeah,
prevents them from doing their
like that. You know, especially not kids. You know, after my dad died, my mom tried pretty much everything she could do to cheer me up. I remember one day when I was 8, she got me what she thought was a Disney movie, but it was actually the Eddie Murphy stand-up special Delirious. And we played it in the car on the way home, and when she heard the things Eddie Murphy was saying, she tried to take it away. But then she noticed something. For the first time in a long time, I was laughing again.
Because this nigger Coonan was fucking Coonan, hilarious. Yeah. Honestly, that shit was funny. Eddie Murphy was fucking funny.
I miss Sinbad.
Sinbad was funny, too.
Sinbad's stand-ups were great.
The Deuce and a Quarter.
Talk about 8-track tapes. Yeah.
Your favorite song, come on, you want to hit it again? You drive back, drive around until come back on.
That shit was hilarious.
I don't understand
Sinbad
it.
Sinbad was funny. Yes. So, yeah.
His bit about Nutrisystem.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're feeling hungry, you can have a snack. Just open up a bag and have a Nutri-chip. He's like, if I could open the bag and eat one chip, I wouldn't be on Nutrisystem.
Right.
But he said it with a lot more energy.
Yeah.
I really don't, and I never will, but sometimes comedy is really the only way forward through tragedy.
And this is really funny.
My heart is with everyone whose lives have
been... You know what you should do? Go do a stand-up set in Gaza right after you're done bombing. Just stand on the rubble, Pete. Just go do, like, put on the Eddie Murphy, like, the purple, like, leather fucking tuxedo or whatever, and go out there and just do some bits.
Well, he's not doing, like, blood-curdling cries for Palestinian genocide.
It's because he's got his dad's Jewish. That's now I...
Yeah, well, it's also because that wouldn't go over well, even in New York City.
Hmm.
That wouldn't go over well.
Been destroyed this week. But tonight, I'm going to do what I've always done in the face of tragedy, and that's...
Fuck famous negresses. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah. Try to be funny. Remember, I said try. And live from New York.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of The Daily Show on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, therightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Saturday night.
That was cringy.
Live from Gaza City, it's fucking
slaughter.
It's
hell on earth. Old Testament style slaughter. Yeah.
It's hell on earth. Anyway.
So, yeah. Wow. So
that was brutal.
We have a number of things to talk about, though. So, you know, we were discussing the issue of how Israel burned through their sympathy moment.
Mm.
And they burned through it, one, with fake news that could be debunked. Fake atrocity porn that could be debunked. Yeah, they speed ran. They did a speed run. Like, let's speed, like, the sympathy bar is going down. Like, the more you bomb, the faster it goes down. And they burned through it by being genocidal lunatics. And even as recently as last night, apparently, some kind of... I don't even know where the status of this is, because these things change. But and you can't really trust any news until it's confirmed, frankly, by multiple sources on either side of the conflict, where you have to see, like, okay, are the Arabs saying this? Okay, are the Jews saying it? Is America saying it? Okay, then that seems to be something you can have a reasonable assurance about, right? Otherwise, it's like not... You don't know, because there's crap that people are spewing from all sides. Yeah, I was watching a video where this guy was trying to give an update, and he's like, so according to some information from the IDF, Hamas is actually preventing the people from fleeing south from Gaza. And I was like, see, again, if your only source on that is the IDF, then I don't fucking, I'm not going to believe that, okay? I'm going to have to crook an eyebrow at that report. But I understood they had negotiated some kind of temporary ceasefire and opening of the border to Egypt to allow humanitarian aid in and to allow Palestinians with foreign passports or anybody with a foreign passport out. And this was reported in the United States. It was even in the New York Times. And that's, frankly, as much as the New York Times will give a distorted narrative with their coverage. They don't usually outright lie about facts. Or if they do, they'll actually correct it if it's found that, like, just a factual claim was wrong. But then Benjamin Netanyahu's government and his lunatic, genocidal, crazy cabinet ministers were like, no, we just don't want to do that. So they just scuttled it. So now that's gone. And that's dumb for them to do that, right? Because for Israel should let a humanitarian convoy into Gaza. But they're not going to because they're fucking crazy, retarded lunatics.
Yeah, which I was watching some commentary on this over the weekend on sort of the geopolitics over there, and somebody made the point that, you know, if you look at sort of the components of the Israeli government and people who are representing that government, probably something like 40% of them are just genocidal,
yes,
lunatic orthodox, just uh-huh, fucking absolute pieces of shit.
Yeah. And this has also gotten Israel into trouble. So here's kind of what I wanted to explain something. Because a lot of people, and I'm still seeing it, although I'm seeing it less, there were two annoying trends in the first days of this conflict that I kept seeing over and over. One was like people feeling the need to get out in front of the human rights atrocity propaganda about Hamas.
Like jumping up and down, bloodlust, or is that annoying too?
That wasn't, no, I...
But see, that just shows you don't understand historical context. Like, there's been an ongoing genocide.
Yes.
And right, somebody fights back against the genocide.
Yes, I think I understand.
Are the bad guys? Yeah.
No, you don't want to, like...
I mean, honestly, I know...
It's like tone policing of Hamas. Like, no, I'm not going to do that.
I know you could have done without, like, the cheerleader outfit. I'm sorry. I just get excited.
Well, here's the thing.
The pom-poms.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I could have left those.
No, I need the red, white, and green pom-pom. I was cheering on everything Hamas did, and even though I was saying, like, these claims are lies, if they were true, I would have just shrugged my shoulders, but as it turned out, they weren't true.
I would have shrugged my baby headless shoulders.
Like, as I said, if the Rava costs were true, as I said, I consider that just retribution for the invention of Goa side trans.
That would have been so funny.
But it's not true. And happened there was that they even showed footage that they had armed security at that party, as they always do, and the armed security guards were actually firing and engaging Hamas from within crowds of partygoers who were unarmed. So who's got human shields now? So it's just bullshit. But in any case,
also, like, you want to have a raid in occupied territory, like, fuck around and find out.
In any case, let me continue. Sorry, so the
I really have to, I'll be right back.
The feeling of need for people sort of in before the Hamas thing, and then what was the other one? What was the other thing that was annoying me? I forget. the false flag shit.
Oh.
The idea that Netanyahu or the Israeli government, this was like a plan. They were doing Lehop shit, and that Lehop narrative was motivated by hatred of Israel, and it was also motivated by people feeling like they couldn't defend what Hamas did, and so they're like, well, Israel like let this happen in order to justify what everyone knew was coming, which was like a genocidal assault on Gaza. I don't think so. I think Hamas genuinely caught them by surprise, and more information has come out that's given me further reason to think this. So those Ben-Gavir-type Jews, those Orthodox, crazy, genocidal Jews, they took a major part of Netanyahu's governing coalition, and they were actually and Ben-Gavir was the interior minister, meaning he's like the secret police head, you know, or just like the internal police head. And one of the things that was happening was, as a result of him having this station within Israel, the settlement, because remember, the Jews don't really care about Gaza. It's a problem because it's militant, but it's not like an integral part of their internal mythology. But the West Bank is. The West Bank, they actually see as historical Judea. So they want that. And those religious Jews really want that. And they've been aggressively stepping up their settlement activity on the West Bank since this Ben-Gavir Netanyahu coalition was in power. And as a result, the Palestinians were to the extent they could in that area were fighting back, and there was all kinds of clashes with the militant settlers and the Palestinians in the West Bank, and like a couple hundred Palestinians in the West Bank died. But as usually what happens is when these clashes break out, there would be even fights between the Arabs and the Jews until the IDF comes in, until the actual army comes in. So they actually pulled resources off the Gaza front to put them into the West Bank to basically back up the Ben-Gavir, Hilltop Youth-style settlers in their fight with the Palestinians as they were encroaching on further and further territory. And another thing that happened was one of the most active militant groups in the West Bank was Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's something the Israelis claim, which is a Palestinian Islamic Jihad is a cat's paw of Iran within Palestine. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. It's something that they say, possibly something they believe. And this is a much smaller and kind of more Fed posty group than even Hamas. And one of the things that was probably happening, because one of the things they're saying, the intelligence failure by Israel was because their agents that they had planted within Hamas to give them information about Hamas all suddenly like were all giving them bad information. So that was they were like triple agents. They actually were just, and the thing is, and the reason that Israel trusted them was because they were giving them information about Palestinian Islamic Jihad in the West Bank, and it wasn't fake. It actually led to Jewish action against PIJ that did kill some members of that group. And obviously the Palestinians are used to dying. Okay, if there's one thing they're willing to do, it's to have guys die for the cause. And so they were willing to basically take Israel's guard down by giving them intelligence on another Palestinian group that seemed authentic because the Israelis were actually able to do successful raids on this group and kill members of it. And as a result, they were like, yeah, like Hamas is, we kind of got them under control. And meanwhile, they were actually plotting this assault. And they also felt like they could take resources off the Gaza border, move them into the West. And they had like one large military unit, and that's actually the one that got overrun. And we now have a count of like 300 dead Israeli soldiers, and that's going to go up. And another thing that's going to refute a lot of this atrocity shit is that day by day, every day, they say like 1,300 Jews died. But day by day, it turns out like a greater percentage of these were in the army. They're like, oh, okay, here we release another 10 dead people in there and their rank within the army. So we don't have all the names of everybody dead, just the numbers. But as the names are slowly trickling out, it's like they more and more of them turn out that they were army and police.
Well, I mean, this sad thing is the monumental scale of what they're doing to the Palestinians. Just something you can't help but cover and talk about in the news media.
Right.
And the tide is turning just because of the sheer level of atrocity that they're committing. Right.
But I wanted to explain why the false flag is probably wrong and why Israel did get caught with their pants down and why this was actually a sophisticated, on several fronts, operation by the Palestinians. And you know, they've also, it is true, you know, the whole thing, and I don't know about whether Iran is backing Hamas or not, but there's a lot of information that's been coming out. One, we do know that Hamas has military wing, part of their military wing is in northern Lebanon, and they are operating out of northern Lebanon. They're also, they have done training with Hamas, and now Hamas themselves, people were attributing it to Fox, the claim that like General Soleimani had like helped Hamas plan their tunnel layout and then their strategy, but Hamas is saying that too. Now, that could also be fake because they want to make sure that the Jews, like they want Iran's protect, they want the Jews to draw Iran into the war. So who knows? But I'm just saying all this information is out there. We don't know, and I think there's a knee jerk reaction to say that. The claim that all these countries are involved is America trying to escalate and create a wider war. I don't actually think that. I think America is actually trying to not have a wider war because they don't know which way that will go. Or at the very least, it would just be a disaster, period, to have that. And on the diplomatic and military front, you have the Iranians who did say, if you go into Gaza, Israel, we will have to intervene. They didn't say what that means, but everyone knows it means Iran gives the green light to Hezbollah to attack Israel. That's what that means. And I heard rumors, or read rumors, and again, I can't confirm any of this, but multiple different places were saying this, that potentially there was one of the things that was being discussed during this pause that the Israelis are taking is whether they should declare preemptive war on Hezbollah in Lebanon, or whether they should just do it. Problem is, they've put a bunch of resources down in Gaza.
Mm.
Now they need resources up in the north, and that's two-front war for Israel. That's just going to hurt them. And they're definitely, now the Jews just today have evacuated everything within 2 miles of the Lebanon border. They're probably going to evacuate further south because they don't know. Like they at this point are expecting a war. And so what they're probably doing is they're going to have to figure out a way. That was on my computer.
Is that your computer doing that? Okay.
That was the telegram dinging somebody.
Okay.
I don't have muted.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Such a super volatile situation. It's like, so who's more dangerous? Like, you've got crazy Israelis, and then you have big dumb America, which also has a very long track record of just absolutely barbaric military interventions all over the planet.
Although,
it almost feels like America might be slightly more reserved on this than Israel.
Well, here's the thing that America, America's barbaric military operations, when they were done, were low risk. Because there wasn't any countervailing, actually credible force going against us. Like when we went into Iraq, Russia was basically reeling from the collapse of the Soviet Union still, and their economy like collapsing in the late 90s. You know, the first Iraq war was right when the Soviet Union collapsed, so they had no ability to do their traditional stance of supporting the Arab regimes. The second Iraq war was after the Russians were trying to get their shit together after the economic crisis they had in the 90s or early 2000s, you know, and Putin was new at that point, and they thought they could work with him. And as it turned out, no, after, you know, 22 years, Putin has now rebuilt significantly the Russian economy and military capability. And so right now, Russia and China have come out with statements saying that, like, the solution here is of the actual creation of a Palestinian state. And that's the root cause of the conflict, is they were never given their national rights. They were never given a state. And America's diplomacy on this has always been one-sided. America's policy is to exclude any other international players from mediation in this conflict and to side with the Jews and give them – he didn't say that in so many words, but he said it without being as blunt as I'm being, but he said the same thing. And give one side whatever they want to the total detriment of the other side, and that can't continue. We need now new arbiters to come in, a new international force to come in, exclude or sideline the United States in this diplomatic realm, and actually settle this, possibly even with peacekeepers.
I'm willing to do what I can. Send me in.
And so now the problem is they're never going to – no one's going to go for this, right? And they know that. But the other wing of their front is that Iran – you know, the Iranian foreign minister flew to like every country in the Middle East this week. So they're building a coalition. And part of it is military. Iraqi militias controlled by Iran are in Lebanon now. They have moved forces into Lebanon. Additionally, they are also saying – here's why I think America is, you know, one of the complaints that like Likud type Jews and right wing conservative Jews in America and Republicans often make is that America holds Israel back. It's not usually true. The thing is, it's sort of like without America, Israel would inherently be held back. So our protection and what America wanted to do was like,
hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Hey, anybody tries to attack Israel while they're genociding Gaza, you're going to get bombed from our aircraft carrier. That doesn't seem to be much of a deterrent, though. It's not deterring any of these other actors. They're just like, well, you're going to bomb us anyway, so whatever, right? Like, we get bombed by Israel all the fucking time. Everyone gets bombed and killed. It seems like at some point they're like, look, we can continue under the constant threat of you killing us, or we can accept that some of us are going to die and fight. And at some point, people make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people will die, but it's better to fight than to just continually be under this constant threat and also constantly being killed anyway. So it seems that like that there's a balance with that, and at some point it's going to tip off the edge, and they're all just going to fucking fight, and it's going to be a fucking disaster. But there it is. I can't say they're wrong if they actually choose to fight.
As far as Iran and all this stuff, the one thing that's going around that might be partially true is that Iran had an interest in perhaps tipping the scales a little bit and getting something going down there with Hamas because they wanted to derail this security agreement between Saudi Arabia and Israel, which has been completely derailed.
Yeah, that was. But the Hamas. Yeah, but the thing is,
like, Iran would only ever view Hamas as like a tool. Like, they're not genuinely interested in them as a cause.
The problem is though, like, what is that? Yeah, but anything's a tool, though. Like, it's like the idea that, well, first of all, genuinely interested in the cause or not, it's sort of like there are probably people in Iran who are genuinely interested in the Palestinian freedom, the cause of Palestinian freedom, right? There's probably people who are genuinely motivated by that are in Iran. They have their own interests, too. So it's sort of like, yeah, Iran is a geopolitical actor, is going to have some cynicism and self-interest and see group. But like, that's any country. Like, there's no one that's not going to behave like that. You know what I mean? Like, countries.
Yeah, but there's like more specific ideological reasons why Iran would just be like, oh, they're not even the same religion as us. They're actually infidels as well.
Yeah, but
so if they get destroyed to meat grinder,
I actually don't.
As long as it.
Yes, but see. I mean,
It's not really relevant. I guess the overall point is like, Iran would have reasons for its own self-interest to want this to happen, but yet again, there's not really any direct evidence of that.
Well,
both Israel and United States have had to kind of admit that, like, well, there's not really a smoking gun here.
Well, but the thing is, it
it's just the timing is the only thing.
At this point, it doesn't matter because the Iranians said. I mean, there was this announcement, and there's no reason to believe that it's fake. I thought maybe it might have been planted to try and get Iran to show its hand, but I now just think it's real because as soon as this was announced, like this pause on the invasion of Gaza was announced, that they actually said, if the Jews invade Gaza, we're going to have to intervene. They said this. The scoop was gotten by Axios, and it was, I think it was like.
It seemed almost like planted to see like what Iran would say.
That was what I was saying that night to see if they would come out and deny it, say like we didn't say that, but they didn't deny it. And frankly,
we didn't have to say it like that.
See, it went through the UN, like that was the medium for that claim. And so I think that the was Iran behind it or not, like it's not. Yeah, even if they saw Hamas as a tool, as a pawn, like to what? Additionally, I am of the opinion that like there's obvious coordination with Hamas and Hezbollah, which effectively means coordination with Iran.
Yeah,
there is Hamas fighters in northern Lebanon. They have
a convoluted chain, but sure.
What's that?
That's a bit of a convoluted chain. I mean, we're not really talking about that one, but
nobody denies that Hezbollah is an Iranian proxy. Nobody denies that. So if they're working with Hamas, like. And I think people make a bit too much. Maybe this is
that's been the claim like for decades. Like when they come out and they say like, okay, America's fighting a war that has nothing to do with Iran right now, and they say like Iran, the top terror sponsor in the world, like they're talking about them sponsoring Hezbollah. Usually that's
what they mean. Yeah, and also
that's one of my problems with the talking about these connections is this is exactly what Washington wants everybody to believe anyway. So it's like,
yeah, but I don't. Yeah, but see again.
Well, the issue there is calling Hamas or Hezbollah terrorist organization.
The problem is though, Alex. The problem I have with that is like, you can't just be like because Washington wants people to believe it, it's false. Because you remember, I mean, we made fun of it.
But it is
going
to make me inherently skeptical to a degree.
Sure. But like the other thing is though, if it's not true that Iran is now what they call it, like destabilization or whatever. But it is true that Iran has proxies all over the Middle East. And in Lebanon, it's Hezbollah, and that's been developed since the 80s. They have them now in Iraq. And in fact, Iran significantly fucked up America's invasion and takeover of Iraq by activating Shiites and, in fact, having many of the people that America thought were our allies. Like, remember Ahmad Chalabi? He was an Iranian double agent. The Iraqi National Congress, which we were supposed to be putting in power when we went in, was a fucking. Was that what it was? The Iraqi. Am I thinking? INC. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever that group was that Chalabi was running, those were Iranian agents. So when America comes out and says, like, Iran is an international sponsor of terror, is a destabilizing factor in the region. And Israel is like very much focused on Iran as like the problem, like because it's a real threat to them. It's a real threat to them. It actually is a real threat. They're not just like they're not just imagining it. They are threatened by Iran. Now they also want to take it out for their own reasons, oil and other geostrategic reasons being part of it. But Iran is a serious threat, and it's a serious threat because it's a very credible military. You know, you want to know something that could happen, and this is why I don't think America is actually so eager to get into it with Iran, and why I think that. They are trying to, on some level, not. I don't want to put too fine a point on this because this is a claim that's made quite often that America restrains Israel. But America only restrains Israel once they've like crossed like a bunch of red lines and America is like has maybe a better. They kind of tell the Jews, look, we've got a better angle on the optics of what you're doing. So you should listen to us. Right. And I think that kind of started to kick in the last few days. And additionally,
So that's my question, because it's like you look at the Israeli behavior, and it's like, I think you guys are probably the crazier of the two. Like America, Israel's probably the craziest.
Yeah, and America facilitates that craziness, and then sometimes is like, okay, back off. Like, now you have to chill. Now you have to chill, because this is getting bad. So, yes,
it's also kind of funny to me that, like, Israel's biggest partner in the world is the country that's known for dropping nukes on civilians and dropping napalm on civilians and
right.
firebombing civilians.
Well, it's the country that is just controlled by Jews. The only other thing I would say as far as the America saying things that seem provocative towards, you know, geopolitical adversaries, and like they're not always lying. You remember Ned Price. Well, we have the information. What's the information? We have it. I can't show it to you. I can't tell you.
He wasn't even saying we have it. He's like, I'm giving you the information now.
That's what he's saying.
I mean, he was saying
nothing.
But
you know what? Yeah. He wasn't lying, because Russia invaded like a week later. Because he was saying we have intelligence that Russia's planning to invade Ukraine. And everyone's like, well, what is it? He's like, I'm giving it to you.
Is that what that press conference was about?
That's what that was about. He was saying Russia's going to invade Ukraine. We have the intelligence that says they're going to do it. And they're like, well, can you tell us? He's like, well, I'm just telling you now. And then what it really came down to is he was saying, I can't obviously. He's like, are you really expecting me to reveal like the source that we have for that? Like, we're not going to do that. And then a week later, Russia invaded Ukraine, or within a very short time after that, of Russia went ahead and invaded. So, and at the time, I also was like, where you are, like, they're just saber rattling against Russia. They want to escalate this conflict, and they don't actually know that Russia's definitely going to do it. And then Russia was going to just do it. And that is where my nothing ever happens.
I could have swore that press conference he was talking about, we have information that they bombed their own pipeline.
No, that was way before. That was even before the invasion happened.
Because wasn't he also lying about that?
Oh, yeah, he was lying about that. Yeah,
that was definitely a lie.
So,
Evans. Yeah. That's a good one. I just said Evans when I meant Evans.
I'm just not really quite ready to bomb.
Human Evans.
I'm not suggesting we bomb Iran. I'm suggesting that we be deterred by the fact that there is a large coalition building against effectively our side in this, or our. The government that controls us, the side they're taking. There is an actually credible military and diplomatic coalition building against that side.
Nothing lends more credibility to the fact that if they don't do their ground invasion, then that shows that they believe it's credible, and it is credible. And now, that what does that do to the geopolitical picture?
Well,
that's
a fucking loss, again.
And in conjunction with the aforementioned Russian-Ukrainian conflict, like, what? Like, here's another fucking big thing. Like, what's next? Taiwan? Like, what's next? What happens next? Yeah. Like, the rules-based order, your Jewish rules-based post-World War II order is fucking crumbling and falling
apart.
Which
is also, like, a really, like, a no-rules order, because what Russia and China are saying.
Jew rules order. Yeah. It's, like, what they want. Like, because that was the thing, like, the thing that I'm remembering, like, when he was just talking about Iran and Hezbollah, and the terror word, the T-word. It's like, you're a terror state, you're a terror group, simply if you're opposed to Israel in any way.
Right.
They just throw that around. Like, everything's a terrorism. Everything is terrorism. Like, when Hamas's attacks, those are terrorism. The IDF, that's not terrorism. It's like, well, it's clear what's going on here.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, democracy. Democracy is, this is a regime that's doing what the Jews want them to do. It's a democracy.
Right.
A regime that's not
right.
is some kind of dictatorship, some kind of this or that, and needs some democracy.
And, like, Russia and China right now, who, like, Putin came out and he gave his idea, like, we actually have to wrest the diplomatic channels away from America. We have to actually create the Palestinian state. Then China came out and said exactly the same thing in a much more hard position on that than they'd ever really taken before, or, like, at least in the last 20 or 30 years.
And
what
I was just saying, it just, like, it sort of upgrades or rejects the notion that, like, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. It's like, no, you're not. Like, someone who opposes Israel is just a terrorist. That's all it is. It's not even about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ron DeSantis just made being a Zionist a precondition for admittance into the United States. Yeah, immigrant.
Right. But the funny is,
are you a Zionist? Okay, you can come in.
The funny thing is, if the Jews were like, Ron, we need Florida to take 200,000 Gazans, he'd be like, okay,
right,
all right. Now, he wouldn't want to do that because he'd be like, that's a bad idea because there's too many Jews here. You should put them in Iowa. Mm-hmm. Right. Or you just put them in Wyoming. There's plenty of room there, right? That's what they would do. So now the thing is, the Palestinians, here's the thing. Another reason Palestinians aren't like running is because last time they ran, the Jews don't let them back.
Right.
Like, if a Palestinian runs away from Jewish bombs and missiles, the Jews are like, okay, we've now validly taken his land. This is okay. Now just doing that, right? It's like, yeah, I guess there is a history of like, you know, land being taken by force throughout all the world. But the thing is, like, the way you're doing it has actually been basically declared illegal by all international agreements. And, yeah.
It's also called ethnic cleansing. We don't allow you to do that anymore, at least in theory.
Yeah. Well, they're the only one that wants to do it. It was like Nathan Coffin is saying, like, well, you know, the fact that all these UN resolutions,
oh God, Nathan Coffin,
all the UN resolutions, like 2/3 of them are attacking Israel. That's anti-Semitism. It's like, no,
it's because Israel's wrong.
Right. It's like, no, it's the same reason that, you know,
me telling you you're a stupid kike is anti-Semitism.
Like 2/3 of people in prison are black men. Is that evidence of racism, Nathan? No. Oh, okay. So they just are doing the crimes, right? Okay. Yeah, Israel's just doing the crime.
Yeah, he would take that position, wouldn't he? That those blacks are just doing the crimes, isn't that?
Yeah, you know, he's a race realist. Yeah, yeah. He's not. Well, because he's trying to get.
He's trying to
get people in this adjacency sphere to support Israel. Incidentally, also the thing about Steve Saylor is going on Charlie Kirk now. Charlie Kirk is reaching out to the white activist world specifically to get them on board with Israel, and I guarantee you he's going to have Steve Saylor on his show. Or he's platforming him to make some kind of argument, because I've been seeing this going around. Like, Palestinians have like an IQ of 67. And I just don't believe that they do. I would believe it's, you know, not as high as like the mean white IQ. It's not 67. They're not as stupid as like Aboriginals. And if they're that dumb, then how dumb is Israel?
Yeah.
Because they outsmarted
Israel.
Well,
why are we doing IQ nationalism? I'm not going to field that debate.
Well, that's Saylor's thing.
I know. I'm like, even if they are retards, it's still their land.
That's stupid.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, okay, again, and this is my thing. It's like, now do this with blacks. And I'm not saying do this with blacks that's saying that they're stupid, because everybody knows that. I'm saying do this with blacks with the clear implication that genocide for blacks is on the table. Because that's the implication you're making when you talk about the Palestinian IQ being really low. So now do it with black people. Because if the implication is 67 IQ means you can get genocided, do that with blacks.
Do that with Abos.
Do that with Abos.
Go try that. Go that in. I think they just narrowly escaped, like, handing their entire government over to the Aboriginals.
I don't know what all that was about.
There was some kind of constitutional amendment to allow the indigenous voices of some kind. I don't know what they were going to do, but they were going to blow up their policymaking process by like asking Abos what they think.
I would have actually been in favor.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Like, ask them before, after they've huffed the gasoline. Like, ask them while they're sleeping in the road.
What do you think about his policy?
Speaking of really low IQs, though, I mean, are the Abos really that worse off than the average Australian?
I guess I could only answer that with gnar.
In all seriousness.
Gnar.
No, they're not.
I mean, decision making between Bogans and I don't know.
We need to somebody wake Ranbot up. We need his guidance.
And Bogan nationalism.
It's like it's 2 a.m. there. Is he live streaming Starfield somewhere that we can get his attention, get him on the show?
No, I don't think so, Mr. McNip.
Anyway. I'll look into that later, because I was like, so much is going on. Otherwise, we'd probably have done a whole segment on that.
So much going on.
But I wanted to respond to this thing that's come out, and we've all seen this in the argument come out, which is like, because Suella Braverman is out there. Like, apparently there was two brown girls, or one of them black, one brown, at one of these Palestine protests in Britain, which I'm pretty sure they've declared illegal. And they had like hang gliders. They had printed out pictures of hang gliders and like taped them on their jackets.
Nice.
And they're like hunting them down the way they were like hunting down white nationalists after Charlottesville, like trying to find out who they are and destroy them. You know, there's been all these witch hunts and
stuff
like that.
What I know is they've declared like River to Sea to be like a form of hate speech.
And they've even said that in certain contexts, the Palestinian flag is a hate symbol. Meaning that it's just going to be a hate symbol because every time you don't like it, it's going to be attributed to that context.
I ordered how monstrous that is. You've got a population being literally genocided.
I ordered so much.
National flag is a hate symbol now.
I ordered so much Palestine swag last week.
Well, you better get it because it's going to be illegal at some point, the same way they shut down Confederate flags and Palestine.
So I thought about putting both of those up outside my house, have the battle flag.
I have both of those hanging in my garage, and I have also thought about hanging them just out front of my house. Yes.
I've been wearing Boycott Israel shirts nonstop.
Does anyone notice it or look?
Nobody says shit to me.
Well, they're not going
to
say shit. Do they even look, though? They might, because a lot of times I don't look at what's on people's shirts either. You know?
Yeah, you can't miss those fucking shirts. They're huge.
Yeah.
The text is like fucking five inches tall.
I ordered one of those.
I bet you a lot of the people around where you live just... Okay.
I ordered one of those sunshades for
my
car.
I don't know what it is about, so who cares?
You know those like reflective shields you put in your windshield?
It's a Palestine flag?
It's a Palestine flag.
That's fucking awesome.
So all summer I'll just be like, keeping my car cool.
I would be worried about getting my windshield caved in.
It's $300.
But insurance will cover it if it happens. So we also had this issue of this guy that like stabbed the Palestinian kid. Did you see this?
Yep.
What?
No, I saw an episode.
So yesterday, 71-year-old man, his name was Joseph Szuba, C-Z-U-B-A, which there's a debate over whether he's Jewish or not. There's
an
argument.
The landlord in Chicago?
Yeah, the landlord. So greedy landlord.
Retarded Polak landlord.
Well, it's a landlord, so he knew the ethnicity of the people staying there.
Yes, it was actually a very targeted attack.
Oh.
He was renting to this woman and her son, and he went to their house and killed him and stabbed her, and then like sat in the front yard waiting for the police. And his mugshot, he still has. He stabbed a six-year-old boy 26 times with a 7-inch serrated blade.
Jesus Christ.
Palestinians. These are Palestinians.
They're landlords.
Palestinians.
So.
Landlords.
Now, I would say from I know how cynical this sounds. We have to analyze everything from that. But he fucked up their efforts. That guy actually harmed the Jew, like blood-curdling genocidal propaganda efforts, because it's an obvious that that's a result of that shit, that this is some guy, whether he's Jewish or not, who there's a possibility he's Jewish because some people have said the name is associated with Jewish. Some people have said he might just be a Polak. I can't tell one way or the other. And I can tell you
his ethnicity. It's Zio Boomer.
Yes. Yes.
Zio Boomer.
And I'm actually more when I saw his face, I was like, he really doesn't look that Jewish. The name could go either way. And he might just be a dumbass Zionist boomer getting incited by crazy retard shit online.
You can tell because the victims were basically defenseless. Like, when they do violence, it's usually against a defenseless target because they're fucking sociopaths.
Well, he's a fucking coward.
And,
I mean,
they've been
baying
for blood for Arabs for like 25 years.
It's exactly the kind of impotent, cowardly shit I would expect from someone who supports Israel.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact is that, you're blood-curdling babies, head-beheaded, fucking bullshit, genocidal propaganda that you've been doing. This guy was probably listening to fucking Sean Hannity. So these people come at us. They come at us for what we say and what we talk about. Well, look at your fucking shit. Look at what you just caused.
Look at Mark Levin right now.
Look at what you just got. All these kikes are going full exto on all their shows. And then this guy goes and he kills a kid. And you know what? It really fucked people up. I saw people in the New York Post all saying this is a Hamas false flag. Because when you see people say that, here's something about psychology I think we need to discuss. False flags sometimes happen. But a lot of times, false flags happen because people don't want to take responsibility for the kind of thing that their side is responsible for. So all these fucking bloviating boomers online talking about Arabs and Muslims, well, this is what happens. We didn't cause this. We're white nationalists. We didn't cause that. That didn't come from our camp. That did not come from our camp. That came from your camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to live with that. That guy was acting out the kinds of things that you morons say. And it's not like frankly, if you want to go back to like Robert Bowers, he killed adults.
That is true. He killed adults.
He didn't target a little kid. So there you go. But But yeah, so that, I mean, that's kind of my thing. Like, there is a possibility the guy is Jewish, which would possibly account for the absolute blood savagery, but it could just be a fucking cowardly boomer. I don't know. It's not clear.
Their rhetoric has been, yeah. I don't know how to use the word Islamophobic, but they've had a hatred of Arabs for 25 years at least.
Yeah. Maybe he subscribes to like Martinez on Telegram.
He might subscribe. He's a Greg Johnson reader. he's like, this is my chance to like change the demographics.
I don't know that a Greg Johnson reader can be moved to that sort of passionate.
No, right. He can only be moved to passion by, yeah.
Somebody's a little more frothing.
Yeah.
Oh God!
I don't want to think about frothing. I don't think about frothing. Sorry. Shit. Oh, here's the thing. So, the narrative then that's come out amongst the sort of retarded, controlled opposition, e-right, whatever you want to call it, like, you know, Daily Rake's been having some good stuff about this as usual. He's been going at these people pretty well. There's a narrative that's emerged, and it's coming out of this kind of stuff. Suella Braverman has said, who's a fucking Indian, by the way? Just everyone understands. Suella Braverman sounds like, oh, this is a nice British lady. She's a fucking Pajit. Yeah. Of saying, like, you know, now is the time we can get rid of Muslims in our lands by painting them all as anti-Semites and getting the government to deport them. And I'm like, deport them where? Europe? Back to the Middle East?
Europe.
So you realize...
So does anybody stop for a second and realize that that's the terms? Like, disliking Israel is the grounds for being...
Yes. Well, not even that. There's that. Well, there's a number of arguments we have here against this position, and we might as well use all of them. So, yeah, number one, you're still working... See, this is almost like... It's almost like this is what the Palestinians are rebelling against. It's like, we're done with fucking agreements on Jewish terms. Right? And that's... what they're doing, we should do the same. Like, why do I need to always have Jew permission for what I want to do in my country?
And also, like, bro,
you're
reinforcing
that. The strategy
is they're emptying the Arab population of the Middle East into Europe.
Yes, it's like
that is the plan.
I mean, it's literally
when you side with Israel, that means you get more of that. You posted.
You
this.
Are the drooling brainlet.
You posted like what happened after 9/11.
Yes, that was the point I was going to make.
Muslim fucking immigration like skyrocketed.
Right,
and you were hit with like campaign after campaign, but like not all Muslims, don't hate them for their terror. Yet, like all you can do is like I hate them for their terror.
This is the thing. Right wing white America after 9/11 was really angry, really activated. There were all kinds of calls to kick Muslims out of America, never let them back in, and at the same time, people aggressively got behind Afghanistan and then Iraq. People had second thoughts. They're embarrassed about it now. Those things turned into debacles, whatever, but people were behind it at first, at least a substantial number. And those people also wanted Arabs and Muslims kicked out. Now, I don't really hold people back then as accountable as I hold them now because people really didn't see what happened. But they took that blood-curdling anger at Muslims and they created what we now know as the counter-jihad movement, which by the early 10s, was already discredited. It was already discredited as just a Jewish influence operation. It's not going to lead to any immigration. And after that, the left-wing Jews had already spun up their anti-Islamophobia campaign, which they were using to now disempower white racism, which they had empowered briefly, because they needed it, and now they spun up the other side of the coin to now disempower it so its demands didn't get out of hand. And also, they had no intention of ever making this about stopping immigration here. And now we have those wars that were started as a result of that fervor after 9/11, particularly the Iraq War, regional destabilization, massive refugee flows into Europe. So that's what you got that time. And if you think you're not going to get the same thing this time... Like, if your thing is let's support Israel, who's right now trying to ethnically cleanse Arabs and Muslims out of Gaza, they want them out. They don't want them there. So you're like, so yeah, let's kick Palestinians out of our country. Kick them where? Jews aren't going to let you bring them back to Gaza or the West Bank. Never in a million years. Other Arab countries aren't going to take them. You're not deporting them. That's bullshit. There will be no ban on immigration. They're under the auspices of Jews still in control, and the premise of this argument is we make this appeal to Jews and they make the decision and they let us do it. They won't. Right. It's directly contrary to their total overall strategic picture. They're not going to do it. And if you stop opposing them on the meager promise that they'll do this. They'll just say, oh, yeah, thanks for the support. By the way, we're not doing that.
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
I believe I have that somewhere.
They have no reason to give you anything. Why? Why would they give you anything? Why? You're supporting them without getting shit. Why would they give you something? Why would they give you any fucking... You're literally... I mean, it's the same argument we've been making forever.
That's just what I want to do.
It's the same argument. Why? Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The other talking point is they tell you that any kind of immigration restrictions are off the table, can't do anything about it, and then magically, when it comes to opposing the entrance of Muslims who dislike Jews, suddenly you see politicians openly talking about how there's this, that, and other loophole you can use to keep them out of the country.
Wait, were politicians
you can say, well, they don't have the right moral character because they don't like Israel.
I was only aware of right-wing like
they're
shit,
being incited
right, like,
by
rightoid saying.
Yeah, they're being promoted to say it by the kinds of things Ron DeSantis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're following like Ron DeSantis, Suella Braverman, other buttgoy politicians mainly in U.S. and Britain are making these kinds of declarations. And they're like, they're trying to do a 4D chess with it. It's retarded. It's
so
very stupid
to fall for
you
that.
Have to be really dumb.
I mean, it really is just like politics. Like, when,
and the
like,
thing that's annoying, we're going to be proven absent. You know about this. We're going to be proven absolutely right on this, and they're going to blame us. When their scheme fails, they're going to say, you guys should have gone along with it. And so my only plea is to people.
Wait, are they taking them seriously?
Yeah, of course.
100% they're taking it seriously.
We have a historic opportunity.
Dude,
here.
There are people who are finger wagging at us saying we are blowing it because right now we have the chance to stop immigration and deport Muslims, and we are blowing it by supporting
Muslims.
No
immigration stops, no deportation of Muslims take place until Israel is fallen.
And it's amazing.
Like, I don't know why they can't put this together. Like, everything you don't like stays the way it is until Israel falls and the Jews don't have power over the world anymore.
Well, there are certain people who I think are intelligent enough to put it together, and I think they're just lying, and I wonder why they're lying. But, you know,
they're probably stupid.
There's a combination. There's a combination of people being stupid and
people
lying,
really,
and I'm not
stupid.
I don't care to sort it out. It doesn't matter. It's wrong. It's wrong, and we can tell you why it's wrong. We have the arguments. Not only do we have the arguments, we have historical precedent. We have the proof. We have the argument. We have the proof. You can't deny our position on this. And also, you are actually saying if we support Israel, maybe we can get the Jews to do something that is directly contrary to their overall strategic plan. That's retarded.
That never happens.
That is retarded. You are the drooling brainlet.
Mm-hmm.
You are the caved in head drooling
brainlet.
You're
just saying, like, I want to get swindled again. Please come swindle me.
Yeah.
So you go, I'm not going along with that because I know what that is. I know where that comes from, and it ain't fucking real.
Yeah.
You should know better. I'm not disappointed in you because my expectations are extremely low in the first place.
Oh, I my expectations were 100% met. I knew these people were going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they were going to do this. And I was actually fairly confident that you were going to get some red meat on this stuff coming out of right-wing politicians. And there you go. There it happened. They always do this. This is our point. This is our point. Like, this stuff is...
Don't listen to you. Listen to Ben Shapiro. Listen to Mark Levin.
Yeah.
They're the ones telling you the truth.
This is... Well, they might even actually be willing to... The problem with that is they might actually be willing to put some stuff about this out.
Oh, my God. I'm back again. Please. You've made it this far into the show, and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please. Do so. We'll both be happier for it.
Too. That, like, yeah, we should kick them all.
No, they're just
America.
Talking about we're going to blow the whole world up if we don't get our way. That's
what they're
saying.
That's
what
they're
saying.
Samson option.
They're talking about Total Exto. They're not even talking about Total Exto of
They're not even trying to do
like, they mean like Earth.
They're not even trying to do like a Machiavellianism of like moving Arabs here, there, or the other place. They're like, well, that's the other thing. Remember, the Jewish state, and those people are representative of the more hysterical elements within Israel who literally have their finger on a nuclear button. The Jewish state is holding the whole world hostage to the point where they will fucking start a nuclear war if their little state is threatened. They are holding the entire world hostage. They're like, yeah, you have to let us genocide millions of Arabs and live here, and if you don't, we're going to blow up the whole world.
If you do like a big picture abstract view of the situation, and you're like, no, wait a minute. You've got this tiny little ethnic group that is in perpetual constant existential terror that's going to be destroyed, and you let them have nuclear weapons
letting Israel have the nuke
fuck
was
no.
just, I mean, it was that, and I mean, whatever, you know, and frankly,
at the end of the day,
you know,
if the choice is between the world being annihilated and that group ceasing to exist, I think I know which way you should go.
Yeah, that's an easy choice. It's an easy choice. We actually could have world peace. We could have world peace.
And then do whatever they have to do to win. So put that on the table of debate now.
Oh,
what are they
going to
do if they're surrounded? What are they going to do if 150,000 advanced missiles are going to be shot? What are they going to do if
die? I hope they die.
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 Involved? Well, they
die.
Can't win a conventional war. What are they going to do? I think I know what they'd do. I know what we would do.
Wait, what? No.
We would destroy the enemy.
Who is we, Mark?
Because otherwise we're exterminated. That's all I have to say.
Well, Mark, you brought up nuclear war, I mean, essentially, and also we're talking about America's involvement and how as
no,
this expands.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
So wait, no, are we're even not. These, are even these dumb Fox hosts starting to get cold feet here now? They're like, wait, are we really ready to go nuke?
You're talking about nuclear annihilation.
Yeah, it's funny. These butt boys are starting to be like, wait.
He said, look, he's going to get... He's getting serious
it's
now.
It's funny. These dumbass, like, modeling agency recruited butt boys are sitting there.
This
like,
guy's like, oh,
wait, this is what we had no idea we were signing
of,
up.
I'm seeing a lot of deep
this.
Concern in these faces. I mean, it's not in good HD, but I'm seeing, like, these guys all look confused.
They're like,
He just said, look. I want to hear what his look is.
Hawk.
I'm sorry. I just.
This bitch getting uppity.
I'm sorry. I just.
Hold on. Rachel, when you ask questions like that, you need to answer them.
What?
Wait,
not
Rachel,
just
ask.
Is she Jewish?
Wait, you need to answer.
What are they going to do if there's multiple front war? What are they going to do if they have hostages and other hostages?
We're going to have kidnaps.
What are they going to do? Die, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Let them know. That's not effective rhetoric.
We had a general.
In this case,
had a general
that's perfectly effective rhetoric.
Just kidding.
On earlier in the show, who said that our military. Is not doing well. You know, recruitments are low. They're not focused. He described
that's also Israel's
a military that's not prepared in many ways, and yet there we are.
That's why we have nukes. We don't need military.
Hold on one second, please. So when is this from? Is this from this morning?
I don't know. I don't want to click back. I just want to. It's very recent. Yeah.
She's talking about. There's an actual question I have here. She's talking about some letter. About the troops not being prepared? I'm curious about that.
You didn't see that?
I saw that, but I was suspicious of it.
That may be some kind of FUD.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I was not entirely confident in the veracity
of that
letter. I know
the letter you're talking about.
It seemed, because, I'll tell you why.
Well, she's just trying to own Mark Levin. Yeah.
We could have enough.
I want him to wig out. I want to see the flip out. I want to hear the as Hannity calls, the great one, lay some smackdown on our... Maybe our not so philo-Semitic Fox News host.
Well, this woman's name is Rachel. Is she Jewish?
This is happening at 6:16 p.m. too.
Wait, I thought Fox and Friends is in the morning.
Well, this says 6:16. This might be. Oh, it says PT Pacific time.
Oh,
it is
6:16. So it's 9:16.
It's 6:16. Is on the screen. 6:16 is on the screen. And that's what matters. All right.
Yeah.
Another front here. China's on the move.
China. I mean,
this has to be, we have to pause and think
China's
a little bit here.
I
because
never
it
mentioned.
Just sounds
where's
like
China
a
going?
Role.
I thought that was kind of big. It's going to be hard to move.
It's sort of fixed in place.
I didn't realize it was, how do you move? Is it on the move?
Towards war.
Honestly?
Maybe it's that Belt and Road is for. He's going to pick it up and transport it across
it's
it.
It's a conveyor belt for China.
It's a conveyor belt to move China.
It's like moving it. It's on the move.
I don't know what you're talking about. What does Ukraine have to do with this and China have to do? I'm talking about the Israelis are going there.
I'm talking, well, you're,
she's
I,
all, he's,
I,
she's
the
really
Israelis have their
boy.
Issue.
Wow, she gets like the full geopolitical picture and he's kind of like, I don't see the link between these Jewish conflicts.
She's trying to argue the
what are you talking about?
She's trying to, this is actually one of the issues. Right here, we're kind of, and it's funny, it's coming from a dumb Fox News broad, but we're kind of seeing the argument between like the more, the Blinken style Jew and like the
Blinken
and like
Levin.
The Blinken Levin dispute, right? Like, there's no other way to say it.
I'm concerned that a lot of the talk that's going on now is about involving the United States And that's another matter. And
I'm concerned you're not enthusiastic about Sparkle Motion.
He's going to go fucking, because that makes him angry.
Yeah.
Because she has to talk.
She actually has to talk to an American audience of dumbass people who think they're patriotic towards this country. And she's like, wait, we can't just leave out the idea of the United States here. She's kind of almost like, Mark, you need to weave in to your narrative some interest for America here other than getting nuked.
Let's get this out like before we got to go to a break.
And it's not anti-Semitic to say that we as Americans should take a pause.
Okay, look, I didn't say it was anti-Semitic. That's number one. So I don't appreciate that either. Number two, the Israelis haven't asked us to get involved. They asked us to give them equipment.
That's not involvement.
Number three, they have their own arsenal, which they never admit. So while you bring up all these issues to me, which kind of fogs precisely, you're the prime minister of Israel.
No, I'm not.
You're about to send hundreds of thousands of your troops in.
Wait, what?
To take out the enemy once and for all. We saw the slaughter that took place. He's not thinking about Ukraine or China, neither are we. And I'm saying to you this. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes it's tough. If Israel is going to face annihilation, you think they have those nukes in there to collect dust? I'm not even encouraging anything be done. I'm not even saying nuke them, nuke them, nuke them. I am saying Iran needs to understand. And Hezbollah needs to understand that if you think you're going to wipe out these people, you're not. And so we have to do a reality. And reality is...
We have to do a reality.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. This is great.
America's involved in this.
I don't want to do a reality.
Reality.
America
specifically requested the opposite.
I said they're going to drop them. In my opinion, they might. I don't know. I have no idea. Oh, I'm the only one bringing this up. I'm not even encouraging it. But if you're a country that has that kind of weaponry, and your people are going to be slaughtered as they were, except this time totally destroyed, they need to be thinking about all their options. And my guess is they are. I don't know. So when we go on TV and say, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They're surrounded. They're going to wipe them out. We can't send troops. We can't. Fine. But if I'm the president or prime minister of Israel, I got to think it all through. All of it. As far as the U.S. military being stretched, that's not Israel's fault. It's nothing to do with Israel. It might be nice if they actually started to fund them.
I somewhat disagree.
Yes,
I've been in six Zionist wars since we last spoke. Mark Levin says it's not due to Zionism, but I somewhat disagree.
Yes.
some of these interethnic conflicts I have.
The
Republican Party doesn't even know
what
they are.
The American military is sort of stretched like Ken Boy's. Let's not complete that.
I don't want to think about that right now.
Yeah,
I don't
want to think about that.
I just want to do aggression.
Yeah. I don't care if you're stretched. You got to do what we want you to do.
Look,
hopefully 300 enemies show up.
I don't want to think about America's geopolitical interests right now. I just want
to
nuke.
America just wants to see.
And you know what?
How many sorties payloads he can take.
In a way, Levin is actually correct because all of this shit, Ukraine, Russia, China, all of that maneuvering and stuff, it's all in service of the mothership.
It doesn't matter if this goes south. He's right.
He's right.
He's just letting his powder's not dry.
Yeah, he's right.
His dome is very shiny.
And that's why you saw America and all of America's puppets, which are really Israel's puppets, like America and Western Europe and the EU, all of them essentially are just protecting the mothership. Ukraine, they're willing to let it go. They've actually already let it go. Without American funding, the Ukrainian state is going to collapse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's just going to crumble, and Russia is just going to like take it.
So we got 30 seconds left here. Let's finish it and take a break.
Our military too, and not treat it like it's some secondary agency, and put a 19% increase for the EPA. We have a lot of problems in this country.
EPA,
a lot.
What?
But that's not on the head of the Israeli people who are trying to survive. Yeah. I'm done unless somebody else has another question.
Yeah, Mark, it all underscores
I'm out of here.
The violence and the threat that has been brought to us when we look weak, which I know we can all agree on in that context. And Israel's got to do what it's got to do.
Yeah, well,
Israel doesn't.
What Israel has to do
Mark
is...
Mark Levin's entire position is that you're not supposed to take care of your own country. You're supposed to put Israel first.
Why do you think we're fucking doing
it
here?
Can I just point out that he literally said on the table... And then start talking about nuclear genocide.
Yes. Yes. It seems that that's a preferred.
That makes sense.
That's a preferred euphemism for that type of talk. Is
you said on the table, and the next thing you know, we're going to we're going to do nuclear fire over Iran.
One thing I'll say here is that like this is probably
we're not here to collect dust.
This conversation is
we're collecting foreskins, not dust. Sorry.
Is pretty educational and informative, not in terms of necessarily what was said, but in terms of the way that these arguments probably are going behind the scenes. Yeah. When like a guy from Israel or an aggressive Zionist Jew is like talking to the State Department or something like that. You know, and you have like American officials, you know, who aren't Jewish, who are kind of like, well, we got a bigger picture. I don't care. What is going to happen if Israel threatened?
We've gone from JIGNAT to EXTONAT.
The Israel needs to like draw up.
They're always there.
They need to draw up like a code of conduct and expectations for their radio hosts like Levin so he keeps that stuff under control.
Yeah, well, like Clear Channel needs to be like, we have to... We're gonna have to have a maybe we should have a little
Clear
committee.
Channel just moved to like rock and roll stations. They gave up the whole.
We'll bring Michael Savage in on this. He's
borders, language,
good.
And culture.
Well, Michael Savage
it's like
got
the absolute Netflix, like ethno-nationalism and narcissism of these fucking Jews is on full display, and you can even see like these Fox News hosts. They're like, but I don't want my kids to be disintegrated in nuclear fire because of you fucking Jews.
Well, they're also, so bad.
They're also confused because they are used to managing a kind of a very delicate balance, and he's just fucking burning all that up. They're like, right. Wait, like we're trying. They're almost like, Mark, can you please give us a way to couch this in terms of America?
Mark, calm down. What was that?
Mark. And he's like, you're a fascist. Israel's gonna nuke them Arabs. They have to.
Mark.
Back off. Take a hike.
All right.
That's my favorite part of that whole video. The guy's like, take a hike.
All right, we gotta go have lunch. I'm starving. Have some fucking, I don't know, have some hot dogs or something.
It's hard. You know, it sucks how old internet stuff disappears because it's really hard to even find clips of that old video.
Yeah.
Classic, but it's hard to find. Fucking kikes ruin everything.
And we'll be back in a few.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la.